Here we start at the bottom of Kuf Chaf Aleph from Bet. The Gemara is asking a question, a basic question, about the division of the land, and that is Zibaylahu. Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim iflug, odim l'karkav gavri iflug. How is it done? Was the Eretz Yisrael divided by person, by individual? Each individual got their chelik in the land, and therefore there was no question about, in terms of who got or how on populations, because every person got a chelik. Or was it divided up by the Shvatim? There were 12 locations, or 12 sections, and each section was allocated to a single Shevet. Then the Shevet itself would have to subdivide it based on the population or number of people in their Shevet. So Gemara says, Tashma. In the Pasuk it says, Ben Rav Lema'at. So when you look at the, in Parshat Pinchas, Perchavav, right, we've discussed a number of these Pasukim before. It says, these are the individuals, you know, based on the census that has been taken. These are the individuals who will be dividing the land. So here, from that section, it sounds like, right, each individual is going to get a portion. But it will be done through a lottery system. Right, the shmot matot avotam inchalu, based on their right shmot avotam, which we said before, we've discussed before, is based on either Yotzei Mitzrayim or their shvatim. Then the last, which is al pi agoral techlek nachlato, based on the lottery ben rav lemaat. Right, it doesn't matter big or little. That's what the Gemara says. Well, ben rav lemaat sounds like the division is simply according to the shevet, and then since each shevet is getting an equal portion in the land. Then depending on the number of individuals in that Shevet, that will be Ben Rav Limat. The individuals will end up with more or less based on how many individuals there are in each Shevet. So a Shevet with a lower population will end up with Rav. Each individual will have more. And a Shevet with a higher population will end up with Limat, a smaller portion of the land, because they will have to subdivide the same allocation for each Shevet. So that's the Gemara's proof. One of the other proofs that's not brought here has to do with what we learned in Yoshua is the Bnei Yosef coming back to Yoshua and saying, listen, we have lots of people over here and we don't have enough room in the Nachla that we got. So there it sounds like the problem, right, is about the Shevet got a fixed allocation and then they're trying to subdivide it amongst the large population. Over there you could claim that they just didn't conquer the whole area that they were supposed to have, and therefore they were short-changed. But from there it also sounds like the Shevet got an allocation, and then they were supposed to subdivide it into the families.
That puzzle, it doesn't sound like, I know that by Shevet, but it sounds like the Shevet, the more people, gets a bigger piece.
Right, that would be, I would agree with you when the earlier puzzle, which says, the Rabab Tabeh, Nachlato, Lama'at, Tam'id Nachlato. From that one, it sounds like each Shevet would get based on their population. But over here, in the last pasuk, it sounds like apia goral techlek nachlato. Then here it says ben rav lima'at. Doesn't matter whether you're big or small. The lottery will determine which you get. So I think I would agree, Dai, that the earlier pasuk really sounds like that you're going to get it by the population. Where there, where they divide between more and less. But over here, when it says that the lottery will be determinant, and it doesn't matter what your size is. That's ben rav lima'at. It's irrespective of your size, you will get the lottery. There it sounds like they're negating. Right, the individuals taking it, but rather it's the Shevet itself as a whole that's taking it. So now, we have another braisa. In the future, Eretz Yisrael will be divided by 13 Shvatim. In the beginning, meaning when they first came into the land, so that's pretty straightforward. Right, in the beginning, when they enter the land, in Yeshua's time, they get 12 Shvatim, and in the future it will be 13. It was only divided based on value, which we'll have to discuss. Shnemar bin Rav Limat. It doesn't matter whether it's big or small, and we'll see what that means. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda interjects here with a statement. Sa'ah b'Yehuda shaveh 5 sa'alim b'Galil. That one sa'ah of land in Yehuda is worth or the equivalent of 5 sa'in in the Galil in terms of property value. So that would be probably the same true today, right? That the sa'ah in the center of Eretz Yisrael is worth much more than a 5 sa'ot that are on the periphery of Eretz Yisrael. Now, v'lo nitchalka ele begural. The division of the land was done through the lottery. Shenemar, ach bigoral. Pasuk specifically says that you have to do it through a lottery. It also was only divided ayidei the urim v'tumim, meaning through the Kohen Gadol, through the Ma'amar Hashem, shenemar api ha-goral, right, which is alpi, right, it sounds like that there is somebody telling some information. Ha-ketzed. So let's describe this ceremony that took place or the division of land. That is, Elazar milubash urim v'tumim. So Elazar was the Kohen Gadol at that time, is wearing the urim v'tumim. V'yoshua v'chol Yisrael amdim lefanav. And the entire nation is standing in front of him. And in front of them are two dishes. In each dish, there is one dish has 12 names in it, 12 tickets with the names of the Shvatim. And the other one has the 12 divisions of the land that are available. So you have one bucket with the names of the Shvatim, the other bucket with the divisions of the land. Then vaya mikavein beruach hakodesh. So then, before they picked the lottery, Elazar used to then beruach hakodesh go and think and say v'omer zvulun ole tchumako ole imo, that the one who's going to be picked out now is zvulun, and along with him will be given the portion that is by ako. It's also, zvulun actually didn't get ako that belonged to Asher. But it means that on the area near Akko will be the possession of Zvulun. Then, Tarach Bekalpi, Shel Shvatim, he went in and I always thought the word Tarach Bekalpi means that he went in and snatched, just like Tarach Yosef, right? So tear apart, to rip. So he snatched out a ticket. The Rashbam over here claims that the word Tarach, over here means irbev, to mix. Tarav taraf from like scrambled eggs. And that the taraf bikalpi means that he mixed up the names and then he picked one out. Right? I think it could be that both are true, that they had to mix them and then pick it out. But here, after the Ruach HaKodesh has already said what it is, he grabs into the kalpi shel shvatim, into the bucket with the shvatim's name, v'alabi yado zvulun. And sure enough, guess what came out was the name Zvulun, Taraf Kalpi Shel Tchumim. Then he would stick his hand into the bucket with the borders, V'la B'yado Tchumako, and then the Tchum would come out. So then, based on this, as the Rashbam points out, this makes it above board. I mean that there's no, can't be any, right, cheating or fix here, because number one, as the Rashbam calls it, Nitkara Datam Shel Yisrael, that they see, Shura'im, right, they see that the Goral Ayola Imo Kamosh Nitnabe. Just like Elazar predicted, then the lottery comes and confirms what he predicted. So they know that this is a fair distribution, and they would not be questioning of the allocations, because here you have the Ruach HaKodesh saying it, and then sure enough, when they pick it out of the lottery, something that should have been otherwise random shows up as being the exact way that the Nevuah suggests. So then, Chuzer Umi Kavein Ruach HaKodesh, he does this again. V'omer Naftali Ole, Utchum Ginosar Ole Imo. Naftali will get will be the next one to be picked out, and along with him will come the area of the Ginosar, right, which the Gemara and other places talks about used to have
those fruits.
Exactly, very good. So had very fast and wonderful fruits that grew in that area. Used to be on the Kinneret. V'chein koshev v'shevet, and each shevet would have the same production, which is they would have a nevuah about who would be picked out and which border we picked out, and sure enough, that's what came out. Now the Gemara goes on a sidebar here. The divisions in this world are very different than the divisions latid lavo. Halo mazeh adam yesh lo sde lavan, in lo sde pardes. Person who has a field that is used or allocated towards grains, then he doesn't have an orchard. Or if a person has an orchard, he's usually doesn't have a field that contains grains in it. And that person usually is a suk, or only has possession of one type, even though Tosfos points out that we saw in the Gemara, in Baba Kama, that in the Chalam Yisrael, there's no one from Yisrael who doesn't have in Eretz Yisrael a portion of the Har, the Shvela, and the Negev, that they have all of these different types of land, and therefore they really would have these different types of allocations. So what's the difference? And then we'll see what it says in Olam Abba, and then Tosfos explains the difference. But in Olam Abba, There's nobody who doesn't have a portion on the mountains, right, in the valleys and on the plains. Shenemar, because it says, this is, we are going to here quote a number of psukim from the last parak in Yechezkel. The last parak of Yechezkel is talking about the allocations, the divisions of the city of Yerushalayim, and then the gates of the city of Yerushalayim. Over there it says, there's going to be in the gateway, Shar Ruvain Echad, Shar Yehuda Echad, Shar Levi Echad. And at each one of those individuals will have a chilek, meaning that Ruvain will have a gateway there, Yehuda will have a gateway there, Levi will have, and it's true of all the Shvatim, that each one of them will have a portion in every location, and that's what it means, that there will be an equal distribution to all the Shvatim. So Tosus, in mentioning, says, well, that we have in Baba Kama, says the same thing, even every Shevet got the same thing now. So he gives two possibilities. One possibility is that what the Gemara in Baba Kama is saying is that every Shevet will get an allocation that includes all three of those types of lands, but not that each individual is committed to get all those three allocations. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that in the Olam Hazeh, a person will have all those three types, but not an equal distribution. Not more of one or less of the other. But Tid Lavo, you'll have an equal distribution of all those different types of lands. So that'd be the difference. But now, not only will it be distributed in such a manner, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melechalek Lehem Ba'atzmo, Hashem Himself will be the one to divide it, Shenemar. Ve'ela Machlekotam Ne'um Hashem. So it says, this is the division, right, as Hashem has spoken. So now, they're reading it as being Ne'um Hashem, meaning that Hashem literally spoke, not that He promised, or that He is advising at this time, but rather Ne'um Hashem is that He literally will be the one to speak to do that division. So, Amar says, K'tani mihat, at least from this we can conclude, now we got through this whole braisa, and this proof, this is one big proof, K'tani mihat, shebetchila no t'chalka lo shnei masar shvatim. I mean that it was easy to see here that this braisa premise, the premise of the braisa is that there is the division atid lavo would be different than the original division. What's that? The original division was 12 shvatim, and this division is now 13 shvatim. Shma mina, the shvatim miflug, shma mina. It's clear from this that the braisa believes that the division or the original division of the land was according to the shvatim. Right? Not only because of the description of the ceremony, which talked about the division shevet by shevet, but also the idea that the difference between 12 and 13, it's clear that we're talking about Shvatim here and not individuals. So Amar Mar, Atid Eretz Yisrael, Shetit Chalek, L'Shoshas, V'Aretz Vadim. So Amar Mar is going back to the Brisa and say, wait a minute, what does that mean that in the future there will be a division by 13 Shvatim? So what are you going to suggest? You're going to say, oh, no, I can explain that. Right? Then I'm going to have Shevet Levi that will be also included. So that will give you 13 Shvatim. The problem is, that's not what it says in Yechezkel, because in Yechezkel, it does say that Levi, we just saw before, Shar Ched Levi, there's one Shar for Levi, so Levi is included in Latid Lavo. The problem is that there is no separation between Ephraim and Menashe. It says Shar Yosef Echad. It no longer divides Yosef into two Chalakim of Ephraim and Menashe, but then combines them into one Chalak of Shar Yosef. So even though Levi is added, Yosef is combined. I mean, the reason that we have 12 now is because even though Levi was taken out of the picture, Yosef was subdivided into Ephraim and Menasheh. In Yechezkel, where Levi is included, Yosef is then recombined into, right, no longer Ephraim and Menasheh, but combined to Yosef. So you still have only 12. So Idach Laman, that extra portion is going to whom? So Amar Avchista Lenasi goes to the leader. And the Rashbam, pulls over here, the leader means Melech HaMashiach, right, the one who's going to lead the people. V'chtiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'ahoved ha'ir. So in the description here in Yechezkel, it's talking about the city of Yerushalayim, the holy city, how it'll be divided. And then it sounds like that, those that are working in the city, right, Yivdua mikol shiftei Yisrael, those that are working in the city will become, that each shevet Yisrael will contribute people who will work in the city, maintain the city, and take care of the city. That's what it sounds like in the push-up shots. But here the Gemara is reading the V'ha'oved ha'ir, the one who is basically the mayor of the city, Ha'oved ha'ir, the one who takes on the burdens of the people and the needs of the city. And who is that? None other than, right, the Nasi, the Melech HaMashiach. So that one who does it, Yavdu Mikol Shiftei Yisrael. Each one of the Shvatim will contribute towards him a piece of land that he will get. So therefore, because of his acting on behalf of everyone and being the leader of everyone, the Shvatim will contribute towards him, right, a certain amount of land, and he will take the 13th chilek. So Amar Rabbi Abaye, who says, Emar Rungar Ba'alma. Let us just say that Rungar Ba'alma, the Rashbam describes as their Shechir Yom. Maybe what we mean is that the Kol Shiftei Israel will contribute workers to him. I mean, similar to what happens, right, in the taxation that Shmuel describes in Shmuel Aleph when you have a king, or what happened with Shlomo and Rechavam, which is that there were people that were, basically, there was a cycle of taxation. Part of that cycle of taxation wasn't simply that you paid money, but that you actually showed up at the king's palace and you had to work for the king, right, in that rotation. So same thing over here. Maybe the contribution is not a contribution of land, but simply a contribution of time or, right, possession. It says, Lo Sakadatra, you can't say that Dichtiv. Because it says in the Pasuk, Ve'anotar l'nasi mizeh. U'mizeh l'chumata kodesh achuzat ha'ir. So, the description of the division, or the subdivision of Yerushalayim, with this large plot, says that the remaining land will be given to the Nasi. U'mizeh, on the other side, will be for the chumata kodesh achuzat ha'ir. For the allocation of that which is holy, and for the needs of the city. So you see there are allocations here in the city. There are three allocations. The allocation which is for the Kodesh, for the Mikdash, for the holy parts of the city. There's an allocation like Chuzat Ha'ir, which is for the needs of the city, public spaces. And then there's an allocation to the Nasi. So you see the Nasi got a specific plot or property. And that Chelek, we know, right, that at least according to one Mandamar, Yerushalayim was Bonit Chalka L'Shvatim, right, or was given over to Klal Yisrael as a whole. So here's a contribution from that, which is given to the Nasi. So all the Shvatim are contributing towards the Nasi to have a portion of the land. I don't know if you call it the Prime Minister's residence, or the, right, the Melech HaMashiach's portion of that area. But no, now the Gemara is going back. It doesn't have any header over here, but it's basically an Amar Mar, right, that it's going back and reflecting on the Brisa that we read before, that says, V'lo nitchalka el kesafim. The land was only divided by value. If I read this, I mean, just, I guess my bias, and I think you would think the same way, what does it mean that the land was divided up based on value? Which is, means that you didn't use area to divide the land. It wasn't that you gave a fixed amount of land, but rather you looked at the value of the land, and then you matched up values so there was equal value that was distributed. One person got a larger portion of land, another got a smaller portion of land, but they were equal in value. So it wasn't size or area, but rather value that was the determinant. That's not the way that the it's read here. The Rashbam and others read here. It means, L'chalka k'safim means that the where equal portions of land were divided, but there was a redistribution of that wealth by paying off money. That if you got, for instance, your property near Yerushalayim versus someone who got their property up in the Galil, then even though you got equal plots of land, it's clearly not of equal value. If they're not of equal value, the people in Yerushalayim had to pay money to compensate those up in the Galil for the lesser value that they got. So there was a compensation to even out the land distributions. Instead of it being equitable distribution up front, it was actually an inequitable distribution. And therefore, how do they even it out? They paid money in order to even out the difference between this inequitable, right, distribution. Shenemar ben Ra'av lema'at. So because it says, doesn't matter what you get, meaning Rav and the Matir are not read as large portions or small portions, but rather more value and less value. So it doesn't matter what you get, you're going to get more value, less value, that doesn't matter, but in the end you're going to have to straighten that out. And how do you straighten that out? Through compensation.
Piece of land that's more valuable than another piece of land is more valuable forever. There's an annuity.
Correct. There's an annuity.
And, whatever amount of money you're going to equalize, it's not going to,
they put it in
the bank. Right.
They're interest.
So, Shoah, that's a good, I mean, I agree with Shoah. I would have said that why not make it that the distribution was equitable in the first. I would have read the Gemara that Ksafim means literally that they allocated the land not on size, but on value, and that would have been an easier way to read it. That's not the way it's read by the Rishonim. And they say now, part of what you ask is interesting, and actually the dynamic changed. The Shabbat points out here, there are two values to getting land in the center of the country. One is you're closer to the Mikdash, and second is that you're further away from the border, that you're not as exposed to the enemies on the outside. But I think the Chazon Ish points out that, or I don't know if it was the Chazon Ish or the Chasam Sofer points out that there's actually a problem here because it actually changed. Because when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, where was the center of the country? The center of the country was Mishkan Shiloh. Later on, it changes to be Yerushalayim. So what was considered higher value at one point actually lost value because they moved it from Shiloh to Yerushalayim. So he claims that there was a second distribution or a second reallocation of the compensation. That they had to, when they moved from Shiloh to Yerushalayim, they actually had to redistribute the value again because the values changed. Like you were suggesting, that no, they aren't permanent, the values, so they could change. Although once it reaches Yerushalayim, I agree with you, it's a permanent value. And again, it's an annuity of value that is better value. And somehow you have to take the present value of that annuity and compensate them, but that's very hard and it can be a large, very large sum of money. So but they didn't know at the time when they did it that Shiloh was going to change to Yerushalayim. That wasn't known at the time that the first distribution was. Yerushalayim was not conquered. It was not known to be the holy city. Both Binyamin and Yehuda, it's on the border between them, and they're both negligent in conquering that area. The Revusi remained there, and you know that from the story in Shoftim, because in Pilegesh Begifa, when they passed by that area, they say they didn't want to stay there because the Revusi were controlling the area of Yerushalayim, that it was not conquered by the Shvatim. So now the Gemara says... So what does it mean, Lamai, Ben Ra'av Lamat? So he says, Im Lamai L'Shufra V'Sanyo, if you're talking about that they were allocated different qualities of property, and that someone got Idit, and someone got Ziborit, and when it says, Atub Shuftani Eskinen, are we dealing with fools here? Who would allow for such an inequitable distribution where, alright, one person gets this property and this one gets, I mean, if you were going to take a field and divide up the field in half, and one half of the field is Idit, the other half is Ziborit, you say, no, look here, we just cut it down the 50% line, you'll get that half, I'll get this half. It's clear that nobody would agree to such a division because how could you have the, right, how would you allow that to happen? Ella, the Krova or Choka. It's close by and further away. I'm not sure why they would agree to that either. I mean that the distribution here has to do with distance from Yerushalayim. And again, that value differential is now be created by the distance from Yerushalayim. And that the property, quality of the property is the same. The size of the property is the same. The only difference is your distance from the center of the country or your closeness to the borders of the country. And that's where they had to reallocate the distribution. Kitznai. It's like a machanokas tanaim that we had. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, b'ksafim helua. That they had to redistribute, again, the value. They even out the value of the distributions of the Shvatim. Rabbi Yeshuda Omer, b'karka helua. That the redistribution was not done by monetary means, but rather through karka. Through trading of property. So that the question over here is, how did they even out the differential in value, even out the differential in value by one possibility, and that's the position of Rabbi Eliezer, that was through monetary compensation. And on the other hand, right, the other position is that they did it at Al-Yidei Karka, they did it through land, that they had to actually allocate land to them in order to even out the distribution, which to me would make more sense on the whole explanation, which is, even though this is not the explanation of Ksafim, it's not an explanation of that they divided by value. Nevertheless, the idea here that you would divide it and redivide the land makes more sense to me that you would have to allocate it. Now, this, how does this connect? Before we said the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda made a statement before that property in the Galil is, you need five times the amount of property in the Galil to equal one portion in Yehuda. So according to the second opinion here, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that makes sense. I mean, if you're reallocating land, he's telling you what the reallocation is. It's a 5-to-1 reallocation in order to even it out. That makes sense. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that they're just compensating money, then what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to tell you that there's five in the Galil is worth, is one in the, in Yehuda? So there's two possibilities. Either he's making an independent statement, just making an independent statement that there's a difference in value between Galil and Yehuda. Just like, I'll show you that that's the case, that you have to deal with the monetary differences, because I show you that there is a difference in value. I can show you that the distance from Yerushalayim makes, and it has implications. Right, it makes a difference. Or he could be saying to you, listen, you want to talk about the compensation that you have to make, let me tell you, what's the value differential that you're going to have to deal with is 5-to-1. And that's the monetary value that needs to be traded over here and to even out the situation.
It could be the that I mean, you should don't disagree. This question is, what do they do with the money? They, based upon land value, and do I just give it to you as cash, or do I redistribute the land?
Right, I agree with that. That is the case, right. Okay. That it's all about how I redistribute. But I think that the two things that bother me with this in the sugya, I'll tell you. One is, why would you have go through a process of having the Urim Bitumim and a Goral to give an inequitable distribution? That's basically what happens here. You basically have an inequitable distribution that needs to be evened out afterwards by human means.
That's why you need the whole process to show that that it wasn't just coming from...
To show both parties, because both parties are being used now.
Okay. Exactly. I'm saying that gives tokev to the fact that I got it and I have to deal with it. Yeah. True. But on the other hand, the easiest way to do it is to divide the lands according to their value or size, and then it would have been done, the division would have been the same way, but equitable from the start. You'd have smaller portions in Yehudah, bigger portions in the Galil, and it'd still come out, you know, with the Urim and Thummim and the Kalpi, and it would be done up front. That way there has to be no human intervention in the end to redivide and to make, take an inequitable distribution and then make it equitable. I'm just telling you, it's just the general overarching question about why not just make it equitable to the, from the start, instead of having this inequitable distribution and have to readjust it afterwards. Okay, now the next line in the brisa was v'nonit chalkei lo begoral, was only divided by the lottery, shenemar ach begoral, because the pasuk always says that by the lottery it will be divided. Tana ach begoral yatsu Yeshua v'kalev, right, excluded from the goral are Yeshua and Kalev. Lamai, what do you mean they were excluded from the Kalev? Elim adelo shakul klal, they're not going to get any property. Hash v'galav didhu shakul. Here they're already getting the property of the other meraglim. Didhu mi bayi, we need to know that they're not getting their own property? Come on, of course they're getting property here. Ela shalonat lubi goral, ela pi Hashem. Yeshua and Kalev are left out of the goral, and their property is directly allocated by God. They don't have to wait for the lottery to give them their property, but Hashem gives them specific allocations in their places, that there was a property that was carved out of the lottery. Yeshua v'dichtiv, how do we know that Yeshua, get it? It says, Al-pi Hashem natnu lo et ha'ir asher sha'al. So according to Hashem, they gave him the city that he asked for, et timnat serach v'her ha'efraim. Right, that he got the city, or the area, known as timnat serach in har ha'efraim, because he's obviously from Shevet Ephraim. So he was allocated that area in the Shevet Ephraim. The Pasuk in Shoftim says, it says, K'tiv Serach. Over here in the Yoshua, when it says that he was allocated that land, it says that he was given Timnat Serach. Uchtiv, although in Shoftim it's written Cheres. Now, I don't know what your Masorah Tisha says, or the Torah Or says, in the Gemara that I have, the Talmud Gemara says that it's in Shoftim Aleph, which is not correct. There is something called Hara Cheres in Shoftim Aleph, but that's not what the Gemara is referring to over here. The Gemara is referring to actually in Perek Bet, Pasuk Tet, which is there again, it tells us that Yeshua was actually allocated a place, and over there, there was allocated a place called Timnat Cheres. It's the same place there, Behar Ephraim. So there it's clear, Behar Gash, right, that near Har Gash, there it's clear that it's talking about the exact same place. In one place it calls it Timnat Serach, and the other place it calls it Timnat Cheres. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, why is it called one place Cheres and one place called Serach? Amar Elazar, b'tchila peyotea kecheres. In the beginning, its fruits were hard as clay or as pottery. Ulbeso peyotea masrichim. In the end, they used to rot from the, and this again is in a positive sense, they used to rot from the amount of juice and flavor that was in the fruits, meaning that the fruits were so flavorful and juicy that if they stayed on the tree too long, they used to rot. So the Bishchus, Yoshua, they changed from a place of cheres, of the fruits that were just hard, right, and unripe all the time, to a place where the fruits were wonderful, ripe, and juicy. Vigadamre, it was the other way around. Techila masrichim. In the beginning, the fruits there never grew, and they always rotted. Ubsov kecheres. In the end, they turned out to be hard and fully ripe and nice. Either way, it's both a shevach, but just it says that in Yeshua's chut, the area was upgraded, meaning that that which grew before was not of good quality, and in the end it was of even better or wonderful quality. Kalev, how do we know that Kalev also got Al-Pi Hashem Kirichtiv? Because it says there, now this actually is in Perek Aleph in Shoftim, Ve'iten leKalev et Chevron, Kasher Diber Moshe. Right, they gave to Kalev et Chevron, like Moshe had said, and actually in Yeshua, the story is slightly different, which is Kalev comes to Yeshua and says, give me Chevron like Hashem had promised to me, and then Kalev goes up and conquers Chevron. But Yoresh Mishem et Shlosha Bnei Anak, Kalev himself at 80 years old goes in and conquers the Bnei Anak, the giants that were there, and that's how Kalev got his portion. So we see that Yeshua and Kalev are allocated pieces of the land that are not within the goral or the context of the goral. They're not getting a sub-allocation of their shevet, but rather being granted specific pieces of property. So Gemara says, wait a minute, Chevron, ir miklat havai. Chevron is a ir miklat. If you look at the allocations, Yoshua, of Arei Miklat, Chevron is actually one of the Arei Miklat, or the Arei Alevim. Remember that the Arei Miklat, there are six Arei Miklat, but there are also 42 Arei Levim that also double as Arei Miklat. And over here, this fell out into the property of Kahat, the god Chevron. So Amar Abaye, Par Varha, that it was the Parvar. He got basically what I would call the suburbs of Hebron. Dichtiv, Betsteayir, Betchatseirah, Natun Kalev Ben Yefuneh Bachuzato. The area around the city, right, the fields around the city, and the courtyards or the areas around the city, outside of the city, plus the migrash that belonged to the city, that's what he was allocated. So the city itself is an Eir Levi. But on the other hand, the expanse that surrounded Hebron belonged to Kalev, and that's what he was allocated. He wasn't actually allocated the Hebron itself, but rather the city around, the areas around Hebron. Okay, now we enter a new Mishnah. And the Mishnah is somewhat cryptic, and that's what the Gemara is going to deal with, is this cryptic Mishnah. How do we read this Mishnah? Echad ben ve'echad bat min achalah. The son and daughter are equal when it comes to inheritance, so which we've seen before. We've learned this already, that they have equal standing. Ella, what's the difference between them? Sha'ben notel pishnayim b'nichseyav. The son is entitled to a double portion if he's a bechor in the possessions of his father. Ve'en notel pishnayim b'nichseyim. But he's not allocated a double portion when it comes to the property of his mother. So the Gemara's got to deal with what the basic problem here, which is that they have a non sequitur. The Gemara just said that it's the son and the daughter are equal, and then it starts to argue about the mother and the father, which is that it has nothing to do with the son and daughter. This is simply an issue even within a son. It's a subdivision between father and daughter. So where did the transition happen? That's what the Gemara has to deal with. Where did that transition happen? The transition happen. Now, also, what another difference between, now here, sons and daughters, Rabbanot, Nizanot, Michnichsei Av, daughters are entitled to gain, take mizonot from the estate, but they're not entitled to do that when it comes to the property of the mother. Meaning that the estate, and we've had this, we learned this together in Ksubos, right, and other places, that when it comes to the Ksuba, what's written in the Ksuba is that if the person has property that he leaves over, if he leaves over a large tract of property, then the sons inherit the property, and then the daughters are entitled to get from the sons mizonot, to get food until they get married. Once they get married and they leave the estate, then they're not entitled anymore. But as long as they're single and not married, then the brothers have to provide for them. If there's a small amount of property, excuse me, not enough to divide between the brothers and have the daughters get fed mizonot, then the daughters get the property in order to have them have what to eat, and the sons have to go around in machzera p'tachim, have to go around and beg for food and get food, because we'd rather that in terms of kavod, and in terms of tzniut, we'd rather have that the sons are the ones that go around and the daughters have what they need. So even though technically the sons should inherit, nevertheless, ksuba creates a way that we allow the daughters to inherit even though the sons should inherit. So now,
what echad ben echad bat ben achala?
That's the Gemara is going to explain. All right, we'll get to that now. My first question of the Gemara: my echad ben echad bat ben achala. What does that mean? Right, Ilema, if you want to say, now that I said before that in the Mishnah there's a non sequitur, so you can give nice explanations to it. The question is, how does that connect to the next line in the Mishnah? So everybody's going to give a good explanation of what it means, but they're not going to be able to explain why it connects. So now, what is Ilema diartigadadi? If you want to say that they're equal in their inheritance, that's not. We just had a Mishnah that says ben kodim labat. We know that a son takes precedence over a daughter. When they're sons, the daughters do not inherit. And the offspring of a son even takes precedence over the daughter. So that can't be the explanation. So he suggests, this is what it means. That when it comes to children, they are entitled. When they have a right through their father to inherit, they inherit not only what their father has in his possession already, but anything that his father in the future will inherit. They're entitled to all, right, future rights that the father would have had. Now again, that's separate. If they're sons, the sons will inherit. If they're daughters, the daughters will inherit. But they will basically step into the shoes of their father and inherit like their father would have inherited. If he gets a possession, if he predeceases his father, then later on when the grandfather passes away, these children will be entitled to his portion from the grandfather. Even though that's not mukzak, it's ra'oi, it's only to come in the future. So when it says, ha'nami tanina, that we just learned in the Mishnah too. B'notz lefchad natlush l'shach halakim b'nachala. Right, they took three portions. Right, chelik avien, she'yam mitzay mitzrayim, v'chelik imechah b'nichsei chefer. And their possession, his possession in nichsei chefer. Their father's not alive, and yet they're still being allocated the portion of their father, chefer. So now that's, in addition to that, not only do they get that, they actually, it's mukzak, because they get a double portion from Chayfer, as we discussed earlier. So that can't be, that we know already from the previous Mishnayot. Vod, beyond that, my Ella. How does the Mishnah continue after that? What does the Av and the Aim have anything to do with what you just suggested over here, about whether they're alive or dead? What does it have to do with it? Ella, Amar of Papa makes another suggestion. Hachi Kamar. Echa ben vechad abad notlim chelek bibchora. That if the father is a bechor, then whether it's sons that are inheriting from him or daughters that are inheriting from him, they step into his shoes to get the chelek ha-bechorah. So it says, "Hanami tanina." That also we learned from the Mishnah before, which was "Shei ha-bechor notel shnei chalakim." We learned that out, right? That the bechor is allocated two portions. I mean, first of all, we have it later on in the Mishnah. We also had it by Benot Zavchad. They also, it's the same thing, that they got a double portion because they stepped into the shoes of their father, Zavchad. Vod my Ella. And again, you have a non-sequitur in the Mishnah. Even if you explain it as being that they beget the portion of their father who is a Bechor, what does this have to do with the Av and the Ein, the next division of the Mishnah? And it's funny over here that the Gemara now, which asked the Rav Papa, it's a Mishnah coming up. Why didn't Rav Papa know the Mishnah? It's interesting that I'll read you what the Rishbam says. He says, "Umahamat nitam the kaman." This Mishnah that's coming up in the future, the Makshin and the Rav Papa mina that they asked Rav Papa about it. Kakelove masik adate. He didn't think of it yet. V'chein kulam. All these Amoraim are making suggestions, didn't think of the Mishnayot. Even though in many places in Shas, and there's an expectation that Amoraim knew all the Mishnayot. They may not know the Braitot, but they knew all the Mishnayot. Over here, they're presenting an explanation of this Mishnah, and then we're questioning them from Mishnayot that are adjacent to these Mishnayot. It's almost like a strange Gemara. It sounds like this was a free discussion in the Beis Medrash, and wasn't something where they were making, you know, a definitive statement. So Amar Ravashi, Ochi Gamar, Echad ben Abanim, Vechad bat ben Abanot. So a son amongst sons and a daughter amongst daughters. Imamar Yirash Kol Nichsai Devarav Kayamim. If a father says to a single child, "You will get all my possessions," meaning that if he has sons, then it means he picked a son out of all the sons and says, "You will get all my possessions." Or if he has no sons, and therefore the daughters would be the entitled heirs to his estate, and he says, "One of you daughters will inherit everything," then it works. Come on, who does that work like? And this is a Mishnah coming up in Kuf Lamed that we'll do together. That's like the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So Gemara says, "Haktani lo lekaman." We already have that in the Mishnah coming up in Kuf Lamed, which says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Im amar al mishira oili yosho. If a person allocates, if a person tries to disinherit some of his children, now if he disinherits his children and gives it to a third party that has nothing to do with, he's not one of his children, the Rabbi Yochanan Baruch says that doesn't work. Why? Because you're matne al mashakatu batorah. You're trying to change what the Torah says. The Torah says your children inherit, and now you're trying to stop that. So if you're trying to stop that, you're trying to do something against the Torah. That doesn't work. On the other hand, if you say one of my children will get it, then you're not matne al mashakatu batorah. The Torah says your children will get it. Your children are getting it, but only one of those children. So that Rabbi Yochanan Bar Kokhba says is okay. They learn it from Sukkim. We'll see it later on when we get to Kuf Lamed. If it's someone that wasn't otherwise one of his children or should have inherited him, it doesn't work. So we have that mission explicitly. Why do I need it to be written here in our mission as well? Echad ben and echad abat. The chitim, and what are you going to suggest here? Kastamlan k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Over here, it's a stam mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan. And later on, it shows us that this is not really a das, right, rabbim, where everybody agrees, because later on we see this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and the Tanna Kamma. So it's a stam, v'achar kach machlokas. It's a case of a stam, and then a machlokas afterwards. Ustam, v'achar kach machlokas, ein halacha kastam. So why would you do that? If you wanted to make it a stam here, to show the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, then why would Rabbi misada the Mishnah and then put a machlokas afterwards? And then undermine what he says in this Mishnah, which is that it's a stam, and then achar kach machlokas. Doesn't make any sense. Tosos over here points out that maybe it's not so true, because even when he says stam v'achar kach machlokas, the stam still gives him a power like a rabbim. It gives him a status of a rabbim. So even though it won't be like him because you have stam v'achar machlokas, but still when he comes now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's statement, and he'll have the tokif of a rabbim, and he'll be able to take on other rabbim. He'll be able to take on other rabbim, and then we'll pass an halacha between the rabbim. He won't be automatically discounted. So Tosos says there is some value to his being a stam. Nevertheless, the Gemara dismisses this. Vodmai, and again, what's the Ella afterwards? Again, we're talking about being Morish, giving property to children, and then all of a sudden we start about a father and a mother. Hello, Amar Mar Baravashi Hochi Kamar. So finally here we get to a conclusion, which is Mar Baravashi says, Echad Aben Vechad Abat Shavim B'Nichsei Eim U'B'Nichsei Av. they are equal in the possessions of the mother and the father. So now if you just add in those small words, right, they, when there's children and there's sons, they equally divide the father's property and the mother's property. If there are no sons and then there are daughters, they equally distribute the mother's property. That means that mother and father's properties are viewed equally when it comes to the children. Now we understand what? Elasha ben notel bishnaim nixayav, ben notel bishnaim nixayim. So then the next statement makes sense. Now it continues. That a son takes a double portion in the father's possessions, but does not take a double portion in the mother's possessions. Or another way to say this, that a daughter who doesn't have a mishpata b'chora will only take, right, a single portion in both. But basically what the first statement in the mission is now saying is talking about mother and father. The issue is not about the children, but about the mother and father. The mother's and father's properties are equal in terms of giving Yerusha to the children. But there are exceptions to that. And that's what the Ella, and these are the exceptions that are listed out of the Mishnah.
Broken into equal parts.
Portions, right. They're divided up into equal portions and divided amongst the children equally, I mean the sons, or if there are daughters who are inheriting instead of sons, then they're equally divided there.
How do you yarshin the daughters before you know how much mazonos they're going to get?
The daughters aren't going to get anything. The daughters...
Now, if you don't have sons, and you only have daughters...
Now, the sons get all the property. They divide it equally, and then the sons are obligated to provide for the daughters through the estate.
No sons. In case there's no sons...
Then there's no mazonot either. There's no mazonot. The daughters actually get the allocation of the property, and the mazonot don't work. Then they get property that they can feed themselves out of or deal with. Right. All right, we'll stop here.